marching at the dawn of the day. All the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs, on the KBOO airwaves since 1978, the longest-running feminist radio broadcast program in the country. Bread and Roses is a collective of women and non-binary radio activists who give voice to those in global and local spaces working for social justice and equity, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All this, and we have fun. I am your host tonight, Cheryl Green. Our engineer is Adam. And tonight, this is an edited down broadcast that I had done on my podcast a year or two ago with the founder and some members of this music group in town called the Backstrokes. And they are a group of folks specifically who have had stroke or brain injury and have a language disorder called aphasia. So you'll hear some music recordings that I made, not very well, and some interviews with several of the people in the group. This episode is a series of interviews I did with members of The Backstrokes, a Portland-based stroke recovery and community music group. I'm proud to say that I'm obsessed with this group and that I'll be joining them very soon. I want to hugely thank Todd Kelly for his gear and assistance in recording the musicians in December 2015. I couldn't have done it without you. Really, I tried one time and it didn't work. I'm grateful for your time, expertise, and generosity. It's really the spirit of everyone in the group, from giving people rides, to showing up with homemade cookies or fresh eggs from the home farm, to the nonstop hugs and smiles. Something about singing together, keeping time together, and wrapping yourselves up together in melodies, harmonies, and rhythm. Now, the Backstrokes.
My name is Anne Tillinghast. I started a music group called The Backstrokes, I think it was in late 2011, and it started with just a couple of people. I started playing ukulele and then started having people come over to my house on a weekly basis. It was ridiculously fun, and people wanted to keep coming and keep coming. At that time, I was scheduling patients at the Oregon Stroke Center at OHSU. As technology advances, it takes society, it takes the community, it takes the insurance system, it takes healthcare systems a long time to kind of fill in. And so music appeared to me to be a fast, easy, fun, inexpensive way to re-engage people with community. And also, it helps bring back functioning. If you're in a group together, especially if you have a songbook, you're literally all on the same page. You're literally in rhythm with each other, and you're having a shared experience. In healthcare, generally, I think that that shared experience can be a very valuable thing for healing, recovering, or just being well for anybody. So my group is open to stroke survivors or people who've had other brain injury, friends, family, and then stroke professionals. The philosophy is that we're all in this together. Communication and mobility and the ability to transport yourself in a vehicle or just walking, those are the ways that you participate in your life and in the community, and you can be taken out of that. And some people have the social resources to maintain continuity. Some of us may not even have those resources in place necessarily before something devastating happens. So that's very important.
Yeah. Without the resources, the transportation, the health insurance, the people around you, and the motivating music group to go to, right? It must be so motivating.
It is. People come. In the hospital setting, people are recovering. They have a diagnosis. And in the community, and especially in a music group, we're all ourselves. We're all living our lives. And I am in a group with happy, successful, go-getter, you know, stroke survivors, people who have brain injury might limp, might communicate a little bit differently, but we don't really think about that. That, to me, is almost the end goal of medical care. Research is showing that the brain can heal years after an injury, but it takes a long time. Doing physical therapy, exercises can be tedious, can be hard, but to just go have fun, to me, seems more holistic.
I can't tell you, if I just had to like take some kind of object and squeeze it 10 times, 3 repetitions, 3 times a day, I can tell you right now I wouldn't, even if the benefit was guaranteed. But if I was coming to a group and I had to strum an instrument or I had to grip the neck of the guitar, I would grip that neck. So, yeah. What other part of your life do you just do these disconnected little activities? Whenever we can, we try to find something that speaks to us and feels good to us. But then you get into rehab in the medical world and you have to do these things. I don't know, it feels like being back in school again.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. OHSU offers a very intensive physical rehab occupational. It's a neuro rehab team puts together an intensive program for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, several hours a day, 5 days a week. And not every single patient I spoke to could wrap their brains around that. It's expensive too. If the insurance has run out, if the benefits have run out, and it's not the right fit for everybody. If you don't have a place to live in Portland, that's a big problem because you have to be by the hospital for a few weeks.
Yeah. So my next question is about disability accommodations, right? Because almost everyone in the group has some kind of disability. So what do you have in place for that?
So our locations are wheelchair accessible. We make the words in the songbook as large as possible. That's our main accommodation. We're working on making a big print version that's actually a larger format. And then we also provide the charts, the lyrics and chords for people who want to play along in a digital format. So if you have a tablet, you can make the words as big as you need. We're in the process of continuing to develop those pieces.
Great. I actually got in touch with you because I saw a flyer in the speech therapy clinic at Portland State University. It looked like it was open to anyone who has a brain injury or a stroke, is that right?
Correct, and their friends and family. And yes, everyone is welcome. We have another community group also on Thursday mornings that's open to the entire community. On Mondays, we meet at the Day Theater on Southeast Foster Boulevard. And then on Thursday mornings at 11 o'clock and 12:30, we meet at the beautiful Tabor Space building. The part of the program I'm the most excited about is playing music in skilled nursing facilities. Keith, who runs the music group with me, and I also work in playing music in skilled nursing facilities, and some of our musicians in the backstrokes volunteer their time and come along and play with us, which is really fun. In that setting, we're trying to engage the group as well and have everyone be involved, but we still are performing. And so to provide a venue for our musicians in the group to also get to perform and contribute to people who are either earlier on in the same process or maybe are just very ill, starts to close the circle. A little hour of fun, just an hour of fun. I used to feel nervous about walking into an area of such intense healing. I think it can be stressful to visit a family member or friend or just to go there for any reason. And to be able to look at the place and think, oh, fun, and then go in and people see you and smile and light up is a real gift.
I'm Carol Edmo. I'm just going to start by saying that I had a stroke about 2 years ago. When I came out of the stroke, I could use only one word. And I could hear everything, but I could say one word. I began concentrating on speech therapy and backstrokes. Together, they have really helped me to really move. That's good. That's a good thing. Because, in fact, I decided that I wouldn't go back to work when I finished, because I couldn't talk fast enough. I was a legal assistant, and I needed to be an advocate for the clients, and I couldn't be talking fast enough. So I was 70 years old, and I decided, well, I can retire. So I did. I learned to talk, and I also found lots of other things to do. I work at Native American Youth Association. I help kids and kids that are homeless, which is a good thing to do. And you don't have to you don't have to talk fast. You don't have to talk fast there. The speech that I'm learning now is really, this is really fascinating. And there's a lot of, I'm learning sounds, and it's really, really exciting. And, you know, it's interesting. It's funny because I find myself talking slowly on this interview, and when normally I talk pretty rapidly.
Oh.
So it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going back to how I was, but...
Oh no, I've made you worse.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's what's doing it. I think actually I'm on stage. I mean, I'm in the spot, and I think I have to go on and on and on. And so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. Is it kind of...
I don't do that much. I mean, usually I talk, and then usually I stop, and the other person talks. And so they talk quickly, and then I talk quickly back.
Right.
But I have to talk.
Yeah. It's kind of an artificial situation, isn't it?
Yes.
You don't just sit here and stare next to a camera every day. Yeah.
And I don't think it used to be like that, because I used to be, you know, on TV every now and then, and that didn't happen that way. But
yeah.
Now I'm loosening it up. But
yeah,
that's fascinating. I didn't expect that to happen.
Huh.
But anyway, so I don't remember what the questions are, because I have aphasia, and I don't remember any of the questions. One was, why did I...
You know what? I didn't remember any of them, but I have a brain injury. And at the last minute this morning, I thought, oh, print it out, Cheryl. Right. So I barely, in time, printed it out. So there's no... You didn't need to remember any of them.
Oh, good.
So how long have you been with backstrokes?
It'll be 2 years... next April.
Okay. What instrument do you play?
I sing.
Oh, one of the singers. Okay. Were you a singer before you joined the backstrokes?
Yes. Well, I was, but not as... I didn't do it as much often as I do now. When you sing, you know the words, on most songs you do, and you also know the tune. So you know it, and you do it. And then it gets your brain working. And you're free to talk better, more. So I go to backstrokes. I go twice a week. It's really good, and it's good exercise too. I mean, it gets me out, it gets me working, and it gets me singing. Sometimes there'll be songs that I don't know, and then I make mistakes, but then I learn it, and then I get it, and then I go afterward. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in the aphasia camp, not last year, not this year, but the year before that. I had been in backstrokes about 2 months, but it had, you know, the therapy and the backstrokes really helped me to learn to talk again. And so I did. Yeah, I did.
That's great.
Yeah.
Isn't aphasia camp amazing?
Yes.
So many people are isolated and you come together.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that you were isolated after your stroke?
You know, I don't remember feeling isolated because I was out. I did Rio, where I was very, very busy. And then my husband was the one that got me into backstrokes. And he said, come on, let's go. And then I did it 3 months after. So I never was isolated.
Oh.
And I've heard about that. I'm finding now about other people that go in themselves instead of going out.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to isolate because I've always been very outward. Yeah.
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 How did your husband know about backstrokes?
They had a poster. We didn't know anybody had been there or anything, but we called her on the phone, and we went.
Oh, good.
And he really said, well, come on, let's do it. Let's try it. And so we did. Today, he isn't here, but I'm here.
Does he come sometimes with you?
He comes almost all the time, but you didn't get to meet him today. Yeah.
What do you like most about being with this group?
Boy, it's hard to separate what's the best. I like the people. I like the way Anne leads it. She asked in donations. But there's never puts any pressure on anybody to do that. And that's lovely. Let's see. The music is good. Because you bring a caregiver with you, or can, right, if you needs to do that, then you do that. And that means I've brought my granddaughter, and other people Phil has brought his son, who's a youngster in school, and my husband, of course, and then older people. So I like the rage of ages. I like it. And I like it. I like it all.
Yeah, there's a lot to like.
Yes, there's a lot to like there. Yep, yeah, there is.
Is there anything that you want people to know about you or about people who have aphasia?
What I want people to know is that you can get better if you want to. You know, I like the space and the listening aphasia gives you. But it also, you can get better. You can go from 5 words to 10 or 15 or 20 or 50 or, you know, you can do it if you want to. But you might like the listening too. I mean, I never talked about it to a person who has aphasia. That's an interesting thing. I'd like to talk with somebody about how do you like the listening? The other thing that I really like is there's growth. There's was a woman that came to Backstrokes who was told she was not eligible for any therapy because they told her that she was too far gone. She had one word. She didn't sing with us in the beginning, but she did after a while. But somebody told her that, or people told her, several people told her. And then she got together with another person and the daughter of the other friend, and they came together to Backstrokes. But that made me very angry and sad that she was told that there was no help for her, and she wouldn't get into any, she couldn't get any of it. After she came to Backstrokes, then she got into something, into PSU. And if other people don't realize that there's growth, then they lose.
If you're just tuning in, this is Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Cheryl Green, and tonight I am playing for you an older broadcast from my podcast with members of the Backstrokes, musical group of folks who have brain injury and stroke and aphasia.
I am Marlene Benner. I had a stroke 11 years ago, I was unable to speak and write. I was unable to communicate in any way. Acting it out, is hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what you did for a while, was just have to act things out?
Yes. Whew.
Did you ever do things like draw or point to pictures?
Yes.
Yeah. But at first, there wasn't anything available?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about a little bit about your life before your stroke, or what you do now, or both?
I was a crafter and artist. It is hard to the left hand is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, sure, if you did arts and crafts with both hands before the stroke, it would be hard to do those same things now with one strong hand and one weak hand. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you found any arts and crafts that you can do with one hand?
Yes.
Oh, ooh, like what?
I built a greenhouse. A few years after the stroke, it is still standing. I built a lean-to, and a roofed area between the shop and the shed. The saws and bandsaw and miter saw and
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do that kind of construction before your stroke?
Yes.
Okay. So in addition to building things and working with every saw known to humankind, you're also a musician with the backstroke.
Yes. I have been
Do you want me to provide a little help?
Yes.
Okay. Are you talking about that you were a musician before?
No.
No? Okay. Were you have been a singer? Or were you going to tell me you have been involved with the backstrokes?
No.
Oh, I'm terrible at this. I'm no help.
I have been I had a guitar, and I never learned how to play. I met Anne and Phil and Trace, and I was just hooked.
Oh, I bet. Well, when I went in to go meet you a minute ago, I walked in on the group playing. It was the first time I actually heard the Backstrokes music. I wanted to just dance.
Yeah.
I can believe you got hooked pretty quick.
Yeah.
So you learned to play this guitar after your stroke.
Yes.
What do you like about making music?
The energy, the camaraderie. And being a part of everything.
Absolutely. Wait, after your stroke, did you feel like you stopped being a part of everything?
Yeah.
I asked that question, but I thought I would know the answer because a lot of people get so isolated.
Yes.
Yeah. And nobody wants to take the time to listen to you. Yeah. Yeah.
Alone in my house. Yeah.
So you have to have things that you can do where you're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, and the energy, yeah. Do you practice music at home?
Yeah.
So you're ready for the next week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Next session.
Yeah, oh, so this is something that you really look forward to during the week.
Yes.
Are there things that you want people to know about you, or are there things you want people to know about aphasia or people who have aphasia?
It is hard to communicate. Just listen and ask for permission to speak.
Yeah, as opposed to just talking over you, right? Do people do that, just bulldoze you?
Yeah. I have an issue with getting trampled on verbally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and when you have something to say and nobody will let you say it.
Yes.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
How come only people who talk really fast get to talk? And I think it is a matter of just, we step back and wait.
Yes.
Because you still have something valuable to say.
Yeah.
Stop trampling people with aphasia.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
And I like how you said ask for permission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else that you would like to share?
I have been learning ukulele for 12 months.
Do you love it?
Yes.
My name is Philip Liu. I started doing music when I was a kid. Actually, my first instrument was actually the Complete Klutz series for harmonica. They have a lot of Complete Klutz stuff, like ropes and, you know, and things like that. But my favorite was the harmonica. And so I think that was when I was in maybe third or fourth grade or something like that. I went to the mall and got it and just played with it, you know, and it, you know, self-taught through the book, you know, about how to do the draw and the blow and, you know, the bending and stuff like that. I didn't, you know, go to a master or anything like that for it, but I really enjoyed it. I did it up until pretty much until college. by the time I went to the backstrokes, it was the very first class ever that Anne had started. She told me that she had that vision and idea, and so it actually happened within the next few months or so. And so I think it was just me and Anne, and then one of the physical therapy folk who were assisting Anne. I was there, and then next week, Lee came. I had one harmonica, C, C key. It was kind of a big refresher from many, many years ago, decades ago. And I pretty much used a lot of harmonica stuff in a lot of the songs here. You know, I think maybe 50% of the songs are like harmonica stuff that I use. I did do violin when I was in fourth grade, up until 12th grade, and I really enjoyed it a lot, but I was terrible. So I was kind of lazy and stuff. I was kind of in competition to be in the back seat for like in second string for like, I don't know, 5 years or something like that. You know, my Billy Tierney and me were always going back and forth of who's worst. But then eventually I had a really good good instructor, a new instructor. She was like an army person, and she whipped us into shape. You know, I really enjoyed her actually. So then I really put effort into it. And so then eventually I got a lot better, and I did some solos and stuff like that. And so, you know, eventually I got, you know, first chair, and not first chair, maybe fourth chair or something like that. So it was good, you know. So by the time I was senior high, I was doing a lot better, you know. So I really enjoyed the music, and it was a really nice, comfortable space with all the friends and people. Then of course, during grade school, then middle school, high school, I was doing like chorus and stuff. And then by the time I was in high school, I was doing a lot more of the chorus as well as the voice ensemble and stuff like that. And so then even in college, I was doing the university chorus and then the voice ensemble for that. Fast forward, you know, to the current, you know, we have the backstrokes, and you know, it's nice to have that feeling that of where I was like way back in the past and now coming to the present and, you know, wrapping it all together. It's been very, very wonderful. I really enjoy being in backstrokes. Yeah.
Did you have a time period in your life where you were not making music?
Yeah, pretty much after college. Then, you know, I went to graduate school, and then I didn't do any more groups like that. You know, of course, I would sing at home and stuff like that, but otherwise, not so much. I was like a music director for, you know, a play, you know, it's a kind of a musical. It's a little different, you know, but that was just a little short stint of time that I was doing some music stuff. Speaking to Keith and Anne, then they were able to do a whole bunch of nursing facilities and stuff. So then I and Marlene would go to that. And so it's even more music to the life. Yeah, so I think the music has really helped immensely. I mean, yeah, there's a whole bunch of components of my recovery, but one of them was key, you know, as far as the music was a very key component of the recovery. So I really, I think that helped a lot for being able to speak again. And, you know, and I mean, I still have word finding issues. With the music, it's kind of a gentle nudge to be able to keep on. It's not like it's over. You can't, you know, okay, you're done. You know, that's pretty much where your life is going to be from here on out, and that's it. You know, so but with this music, it's kind of a nice gentle thread that keeps on moving, so we can, you know, just keep on getting better and better. I love music, and my son and I would go to. He was 4 years old, 4, 5, 6. We'd go to symphony, and he would enjoy some of the, you know, the OBT events. And so, of course, the orchestra is going on at the same time. At that point, I was just enjoying the auditory, you know, processing, going through the, you know, the brain waves, you know, that really helped, you know. But now when you're actually having a group, you know, it's auditory, but now it's, you're actually doing it here, fully processing the other part of the brain too. So, you know, I think that both of them were very powerful, but when you're actually doing it yourself with a group, you know, that's even so much more, just a really another facet of the, you know, wonderful things, power of music.
How lovely.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't even read the, you know, sheets of music at first, you know, but eventually, you know, I could.
What do you want people to know about you? Mm-hmm. Or what do you want people to know about people with aphasia?
I would really, really strongly recommend for stroke survivors, you know, to be able to find the time, you know, and to be able to go to the symphony or going to different kinds of auditory, beautiful music, and then possibly going to like backstrokes or other kinds of groups. And it just really helps the recovery so much faster. You know, I mean, I do other kinds of things to help the process, like Qigong and Tai Chi and things like that. And that, those are really, really helpful too. I mean, if you can do both at the same time, where the multifaceted things that you can do, if you have many, many outlets, you know, the processing and the neural pathways is almost compounded with your abilities. You know, so I think I'd really strongly recommend, definitely music and any other kinds of things that you just search yourself what you think calls to you, you know. But I think music, you can never go wrong with music.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Kind of like what I was saying about the Tai Chi Qigong, you know, that I think that really helps a lot too. Even just the posture. There's two major keys. One major key is sinking. Just sink to the floor, you know, from your pelvic girdle down, you know. At the same time, you're floating. You have the floating sensation up. You have like almost like balloons going up, and you have like an anchor going down, and then you have like a rope in between. The rope becomes pretty taut, but it's not too taut. Nice and comfortably firm, you know. And that at that point, you kind of connect to your body a lot better. And so, but that connects to the music. You're going to be a better singer, you know, and it's going to be a better musician, you know, if you incorporate those things together.
My name is Lee Jordan.
What was your life or your career like prior to your stroke?
I was a lawyer and a judge. I came to Oregon because it was the dot-com industry had just gone out, and my husband was in that. At the same time, I caught Meniere's disease, and I could not see clients. So we decided to come to Oregon. I then would go to California on 3 or 4 days, twice a month, to be a judge. It was lovely because I could be home the other 2 weeks of the month. My life was slower up here and nice. And so I was getting a little time to do things that were very important to me, but maybe not so important to judges. Then I had my stroke and I couldn't do any of that. And so I had to give up my profession.
Did you feel like being a judge and a lawyer was kind of your identity?
Yes. Yes, it was.
What was it like then when you had to stop that career full time? How was that for your identity?
You know, I never cried when I had a stroke. It was simply another problem to be solved. The first 3 years, I was very frightened because when I had the stroke, I lost all movement and I lost all speech. I had to bring it all back. And so about the third year, I got to where I could go somewhere. I could drive finally again, and I started to look for things to do. I ended up with a whole host of things that were not lawyer-like at all. Weaving and singing and Tai Chi and teaching in the SMART program. It was very different. That was the third year. Before, I couldn't do anything. No, I wouldn't do anything because I was frightened. But I finally gave myself a kick in the rear and said, go out and start doing things.
I would add that, you know, if you didn't have a disability before, it's hard to know what is out there to do, you know, what is going to be accessible. Mm-hmm. When you first sat down, you pointed out that I had a list of questions, but my list of questions didn't include what did you do before. And mm-hmm. so you brought up that you wanted me to ask about that. And I love that you said that. So my question about that is, do you feel like people never ask that?
They never ask.
What do people usually start with or ask?
How long ago was your stroke?
Tell me about your stroke. Yeah. Tell me about it. I get it all the time, and you caught me. Now, my list of questions doesn't say tell me about your stroke, yeah. But you're right. I did not ask about what it was like before. What does it feel like to you when someone starts with a question about your stroke instead of a question about you?
I understand. My stroke was very unique because I can tell you know. because at 1 year old, I was diagnosed with hyperthymus. And so they radiated me here and got my carotid artery too. And so for 57 more years, my carotid artery deteriorated and got clogged. And then I had the TIA followed by stroke, and here I am.
I would love to ask you questions about the backstrokes. Tell me what you enjoy about making music in this group.
Since my stroke, I saw a TV presentation where they talked about people in groups when they all sing the same note, they resonate with each other in a way that that makes it better than singing it alone. I've experienced that in this group all the time. The thing about backstrokes is that it is a non-competitive thing. Everyone is welcomed. If they play an instrument, great. If they just sing like me, that's great. It's an acceptance that stroke victims don't get a lot of. And when I started Backstrokes, it gave me the courage to go out and try other things, and like weaving. I looked at weaving and I thought, who's gonna do it for somebody like this? And I found a place that would. And the SMART program for children in Portland is great. The children love me and I love them. So there are a whole bunch of things that started with backstrokes that I developed.
That is fantastic about getting the courage to go out and try even more new things. I love that. I'm always trying to prove to people you've got to get involved in the arts.
Yes.
It's not just medical rehab. Is there anything that you want people to know about you or about people with aphasia?
Be slow. Be slow and be open to what we say. So many people are hurrying so much and they can't slow down. They just can't. And I write them off. You know, that's an awfully cold thing to do, but I can't handle them now. So I would say slow down and be patient.
Yeah, and the other thing you said was be open. This is what you said earlier, that people who have a stroke don't get this kind of acceptance out in the world very often.
Yes.
The way you do here. And I think part of it is they're not open to listen to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Damn it.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
And I can't slow them down. They have to slow themselves down.
I'm Jody Turner, and I volunteer with the Backstrokes. About a year ago, I noticed a group of people singing after my dance class at a dance studio, and I began singing with them. I didn't know it was a stroke recovery group. I asked if I could join, and everyone said, sure. Eventually, I noticed the name of the group as the Backstrokes, and it occurred to me that this is a stroke recovery group. I had no idea, and when I tell that story to everyone, they're just amazed. You didn't know we all had strokes? No, I just thought we were all just singers. And I noticed that there were instruments as well. In this past year, I've learned to play the banjo-lele, and now I accompany and do harmonies with the Backstrokes. And whenever anyone asks me around the world, you know, oh, you play the banjo-lele and you sing? I say, yes, I sing with the Backstrokes. And they are so impressed. They love seeing the little banjo-lele, 1930s banjo-lele from the Depression era. It was on a wall when I first got it from my very good girlfriend. She had restored it and she allowed me to buy it from her because it's a special thing. And everywhere I go, everyone wants to see this little thing and hear it play because it has such a unique feminine banjo sound. And I am an old woman named after my mother. So Anne has brought music into my life. I haven't played in 40 years, so I thank Anne. And it is a joy to sing. And it's a joy to sing with these people in particular because they're so heartfelt and giving and open. I brought brother in. He became a normal part of our group. they have seen Brother, my rescue dog, go from being totally damaged to excited and ecstatic to see them. And so Brother has been healing along with the group as well.
Did you get Brother to be like a companion animal, or is he a service or therapy dog?
I got him just as a rescue companion, you know. And his is a very sad story. So it took a long time and many years. And now at 4, you know, I put him through the pet therapy program. But he's unable to do well in certain settings. And he's so frightened. Everybody wants to touch him. And he's unable to handle all of that attention. So he's not in the program, but he has been gifted an official volunteer role with the Backstrokes, and so he is supported here. It's a lifelong membership.
Would you tell the listeners, would you describe Brother for them, please?
Brother is short. He's scruffy hair terrier with very soft ears and a sweet, sweet face. He's apricot colored with white, white curls, and he walks with a very unique waddle, and when I walk down the street, it's really fun because people smile and laugh because he is such a character. He is very expressive and he loves to dance around and with joy. And when you see his sad side, it makes your heart break because he will cower and, you know, and back away. But that was what he was like 100% of the time when I first got him. Today, he's just all joy all the time. So.
Oh, wow. And is part of his healing that's been
with the Backstrokes? He was raised in a crate, so I've had to socialize him. And these guys are a mix of men and women, some in wheelchairs, you know, some have canes. And now he just runs up and greets everyone. And he loves being with this sort of musical crowd. He loves music.
Oh, and he's near me. Hello, Brother. Oh, he just came up to me on his own and sniffed my hand. I really wish that wasn't just podcast.
Sitting by you, so.
Thank you, Brother.
He loves to accompany.
And look at that white spot on the top of his head. How wonderful that he came into the group with you and is healing from
yes.
it.
Yes, yes, he is. He yeah. really is. So. Yeah. And Anne has been generous. I help set up chairs. I help harmonize. I help do backup with Keith and Anne. And they've been generous in teaching me and in allowing me into the group.
So you have not had a stroke.
I have not.
So what would you tell other people who haven't had a stroke? What do they need to know about people with stroke and aphasia and brain injury?
I've had many concussions in my life, and I know that that's altered me. And we just have to be aware, in our lives, we've all had something happen in which we are recovering from, whether it's emotional or physical. And so we take that empathy and that kind of understanding into a stance of, we are all in a process of healing. And so when you stand there, you allow everyone to have their process of healing. When you stand by someone, and we sing that song, Stand By Me, when you do that, it allows everyone to have the space to heal. And this is what I've been practicing with the group. So this has been a gift. Ta-da!
You've been listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO Portland. Many thanks again to our engineer, Adam, and Evening News and Public Affairs Director. We always welcome new collective members, and if you're interested in joining us as a producer, host, or engineer, no experience necessary, please contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator, volunteer@kboo.org, or reach out to us at breadandroses@kboo.org. You can connect with us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/breadandroses, like us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses, and we are on Twitter, @BreadRosesRadio. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good night, everyone.